Hey, through the word, Peyton Jones here. What if I told you you've been living a lie? That all you thought about personal hygiene, soap, shampoo, toothbrushes, toothpaste, and deodorant was all a lie? How much would that cook your noggin? Matthew 15 today, and Jesus is about to put a metaphorical egg in a frying pan and cook the disciples' brains by telling them that everything the religious leaders told them was all wrong. Verse 1. Then the Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? Why don't they wash their hands before they eat?" By the way, this was not in the law of God given to Moses. These were made-up rules about hand washing that religious people followed to show their religious obedience and devotion. Obedience to what? Their own made-up rules. So Jesus answers a question with another question. He flips their question around on them like a judo master. Verse 3. Jesus replied, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God has said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares what might have been used to help their father or mother is, quote, devoted to God, they are not to honor their mother or father with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition." In other words, Jesus is uncovering a corruption scheme whereby people can escape helping their mother and father by giving tithes to the temple. In other words, people could give money to the temple, which went to pay the Pharisees and enrich their coffers, and left people's mothers and fathers destitute and hungry. Talk about ninja-level sleight of hand. You can fool people, but you can't fool God. And Jesus calls them out directly in verse 7. "You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." Wow, Jesus goes on full offensive. His claws are out when it comes to religious hypocrisy, perhaps because nothing causes quite so much damage as when someone manipulates the system in God's name. We all see through it, and it makes the whole thing look bad. Therefore, Jesus turns to the crowd in verse 10. "Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them." Jesus is saying, no food can make you unclean, but what comes out of your mouth is making you unclean. It's not what goes in, it's what comes out. Their own words were what was disgusting before God. And when Jesus verbally punches the Pharisees in the face, even the disciples wince. Ooh. Verse 12. "Then the disciples came to him and asked, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?' Jesus replied, 'Every plant my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit.' Peter said, 'Explain the parable to us.'" Here we go again. You see, you and I have to understand, this was so radical for them. The idea that what you eat doesn't pollute you. It's what comes out of a person, not what goes in. It's what comes out of your heart, not what goes into your mouth, that makes you sinful. They still couldn't see that the Pharisees had it all wrong. They had been blind guides. They were those that were blind trying to lead them up Mount Everest. And they were leading the people off a cliff, Jesus said. They will both fall. It's difficult for them to grasp that the religious leaders they'd always trusted might actually be wrong. Very wrong. And there can be parallels today for us as religious leaders. Those of us in leadership should never underestimate that if Jesus came back today, he might have some equally upsetting things to say to those who are supposed to represent him. And this should cause us to keep evaluating what we say and how we act. Verse 16. "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked. Okay, Peter doesn't get it, and the 12 don't get it. You see, for us, we've been told that brushing our teeth prevents cavities, resulting in a twice-a-day ritual at least that we've embarked on probably all of our lives. But what if suddenly 4 out of 5 dentists told us that actually brushing your teeth doesn't do anything? Well, we'd be the same. Wait, Jesus, I don't understand. That's because brushing our teeth was fundamental to our understanding about life and our daily routines. In the same way for the disciples here, that they've been washing their hands, thinking they were preventing evil from entering into their bodies. As stupid as it sounds. Jesus says it again so they can't miss it in verse 17. Don't you see? Whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body. But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person. But eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. I don't know about you, but I'm glad when Jesus takes the time to explain to the slowest student in class, because, well, that's usually me. But Jesus moves on because he encounters a Canaanite woman or a non-Jew, and talk about breaking with tradition, verse 21. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter's demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." Now, this is important for us to pause and comprehend. I don't think that it wasn't that Jesus didn't care for the Gentiles. I feel that Jesus is bummed here. It was just a matter of timing. Paul explains later that Jesus came to the Jews first, and when they rejected Jesus as the Jewish Messiah, he was then offered as the global Savior to the rest of the world. Jesus wants to help her, but it's not his mission. He's not come to save the Gentiles, at least, not yet. He'd later hand that over to the apostles, telling them, "You will do greater things than even I've done." And they would take his message to the end of the earth. But what to do with the Phoenician woman? Verse 25. The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. It's important to note that Jesus appreciates the pushback he gets here. He challenges her, almost like he wants to be challenged back. We've all had people that make us work for it a little bit, haven't we? And Jesus here, using terms like dogs, knows it's a derogatory term given by the religious leaders to the Gentiles. Dogs in those days were scavengers. They ate corpses and filth, and they were just gross. But Jesus doesn't think that about her. He wants to minister to her to make a point. There was enough of God's mercy to go around, and what started as crumbs falling from the table here would soon be a truckload of grace dumped on them. Speaking of crumbs falling, Jesus runs into yet another all-day teaching and healing-packed day that leads people stranded without food, leading to another miracle, this time feeding 4,000. Again, Matthew, the accountant who likes to group things together, wants us to get the message. The Pharisees got it all wrong about bread. They got it all wrong about washing your hands. And they'd also gotten it wrong about the Gentiles. Jesus breaks with all the tradition to give as much grace out he can to anyone who's in need. Well, thanks for joining me in Matthew chapter 15 today, and I'll see you next time on our journey through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.